what we need. And I have been seeking and seeking for my own needs and for the needs, and I've been listening as I've been here, listening, and at times I've been overwhelmed with the needs that I've been listening to as I've prayed with different ones and understood the longings of the heart. And this morning, the Lord met me. He woke me up. He gave me an answer for the questions and the needs. And I want to share it with you. It's not anything new. It is the old, old story. But it is the remedy for your needs, the needs that I've heard from children, the needs that I've heard from the 20-somethings and the teens and the 30-somethings and the 40-somethings and the 50-somethings and on up. Whatever your questions are this morning, I want to point you to the one, and I want to point you to the place where those needs are met. In Psalms 84, I'd like to begin here at the first verse. It says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! How lovely, how pleasant." It's not talking about this tabernacle, but here we visit, or we are visited by the Lord, and that presence that we feel is that tabernacle that I'm speaking about this morning. And that's very lovely. He is lovelier and fairer than all the children of men. He's fairer. He's the fairest of 10,000 to our souls. And what we find in Him is most lovely. And so we can say this with David. Then he says, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." And that is what I'm hearing. And I'm glad to hear that from people. And that's what my heart is doing this morning. My heart and my flesh, you know, we were created, our bodies were made to inhabit the Holy Spirit, to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so even our bodies, everything about you is made to contain the presence of God. And that's what your cry of everything in you is, for the presence of God. And there's nothing in this world can satisfy that particular longing. That's why we were made, is to experience the glory and the nearness of the Lord, and for Him to inhabit us and for Him to live in us, a living God. And not religion doesn't satisfy that. Teachings and doctrines and obeying and following and gritting our teeth and bearing up and just pushing, that doesn't satisfy. But only the living God will satisfy your soul. The thirstings of our heart are not ever satisfied by material things. That's why they're called deceitful. Riches are called deceitful by the Word of God, is because they try, the world, Satan, tries to deceive you into thinking that if you can be accomplished materially and financially stable and gaining and own this and go to this and be able to afford this, that you'll have that longing satisfied. But it will never happen. You will get that, and you will, after a while, you'll want something else. Riding in a luxury vehicle does not satisfy the longing of your heart. It really doesn't. You will still have the longing that this is talking about today. Relationship with the dearest person on earth will not satisfy the longing that you have for the living God. If I hear this longing from married people. you would think, well, you have a relationship with someone. And you hear from unmarried people, you think, well, if only I had the relationship like a married person has, then I would be okay. Yes. But you must have the living God to inhabit you and to dwell within you and to empower you and to fill you and to satisfy you. And then you will feel what you're looking for. And you may not ever have a relationship. Or if you're in a relationship, and you sometimes, someone's in a relationship, let's say the saints that are experiencing loss of their loved ones, when that begins to happen, when you see the one that you love possibly going out of this world and look like, you know, that relationship may be ending soon, sometime, and you begin to experience those kinds of things, there's only one answer for that. There's only one answer for that longing that you have in your heart, and that is the presence of the living God. Then he goes on to say, yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself. Not only me, but somewhere where I can lay my young. Somewhere I can raise my children. Somewhere I can point those that come after me. Somewhere I can commit them. And this is the place. This is it. This is where, oh, this morning I passed a telephone pole or electric pole just right outside the restrooms there. And I looked up and there was this little swallow, a little song sparrow. I'm not a swallow, but a song sparrow singing at the top of its voice. It was about 6:30. And I just looked at that, and I love birds anyway. I love to, if I hear a particular chirp, I'm going to find out where it's coming from and what it is. Sometimes you'll just see me just looking and looking and looking, and it's because I'm looking for the bird, because I love birds. And when I see a flash of blue or a flash of red, I am filled with joy because there goes a bird. I really like birds. Anyway, but this talking about not just a bird. This talking about us. And I don't know if David passing through the tabernacle there and sitting there and worshiping, I don't know if he looked up and said, well, there's a nest. Even the birds love it here. That possibly what he was saying, but I think as he looked at, if it was a bird nest and he studied it and he said, look at that. She's found a refuge right here in the tabernacle, and she's laid her eggs right here. And then maybe the Spirit of the Lord said to him, David, this is where you can abide too. This is where you can have your, this is where you can commit the burdens of your children too. And David had them. David had lots of burdens with his children. I mean, he's experienced stuff with his children that a lot of us will never experience. I mean, someone usurping your place and on out to kill you? I mean, this is where David was in life. He said, I found a place. And we can each say this, I found a house. And this is the verse that the Lord really gave me this morning. The swallow a nest for herself and where she may lay her young, even thine altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed, or how happy are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. And I really like the translation that I have in my margin. If you have the Thompson chain, you can see this. It says, blessed is the man in whose heart are the highways to Zion, passing through the valley of weeping. And that's, we all have those valleys, don't we? We all have our places of weeping, the places where we're tucked up in the rock. It's a hard place. But right there, this says, blessed is a person who has it in their heart. I want to be in the presence of the Lord. That's what it means to have highway to Zion in your heart. Yeah. It's not just a geographical place where I've got that, well, I want to get there. But it's Zion is the courts of the Lord. It's the altars of the Lord. It's the presence. It's the tabernacle. When you see all these terms, it's talking about simply one thing, and that's the presence of the Lord. So when you have the highways to Zion in your heart, you have constantly, I want to go there. I want to get there. I want your presence. I want to travel to that place constantly, every moment of every day, when I get in a hard place, when I wake up in the morning, when I go to bed at night. Lord, just please, let my last thought be of You. Let me be in Your presence as I go to sleep, Lord. Dispel my burdens and take my cares. And Lord, just still my heart and my mind so that I can sleep. I know that sleep is a gift from You. And so I ask You for Your presence with me as I sleep. And then it says, when I awake, I'm still with Thee. That's a wonderful thing to awake with the Lord. For the Lord to be stirring your heart even before you awake. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved. He's saying to me, come, my love, my dove, my only one, come away with me. Don't you hear the birds singing? It's time to get up and talk to me. That is wonderful. When I awake, I am still with Thee. That is a wonderful way to live, in the presence of the Lord, to have in my heart a constant moving toward. That's what that highway means, a moving toward in my heart, His presence. And it's like, I find this in my life, that it's like every day, I know I was with the Lord yesterday and experienced Him yesterday, but every day it's almost like I haven't experienced Him and I want it again. You understand what I'm saying? It's just, I want it again. I want another touch. And this is the answer today for your ills, for every problem, for every question, for your confusion, for your dryness, for your loneliness, for your void. Whatever you're feeling today, this is the answer. Press toward His presence. Practice the presence of God. Come into His presence. However you can get there, get there. But have in your heart the highways and the movings toward His presence. He said, blessed are they that dwell in Thy house. They will be still praising Thee. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Passing through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. How do we do that? We do that by entering into His presence. In my tears, I come into His presence. How do we get into His presence? Psalm 100 talks to us about that. Turn everything else off. Turn your radio off when you get in the car. Break the habit of turning on the radio and come into the presence of God. Especially if you're alone. Now, if you have children, then it says, as you walk by the way, which for us is going down the road in the car, teach your children the presence of God. It's a time for good conversation. It can get heated sometimes, but well, that's the way families are. Actively and energetically talk to one another. And that's a good thing to do when you're riding down the road. Just make sure that we settle all the issues before we get to where we're going. But this says, come, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. And why not? Just why not? And you know what He told the Israelites? He said, because you didn't serve Me with cheerfulness and with gratitude because of all the abundance that I gave you, then I'm going to make you experience a terrible want in your life. And I don't want that. I don't want that to come to pass in my life where the Lord will say, you know, I really blessed you abundantly at one point in your life, and you didn't serve Me joyfully. You didn't serve Me with gratitude. And so I'm going to let you experience a want in your life. I really don't want to have that happen. But He says here, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. So that is how you can come into the presence of the Lord. When you wake up, when you begin to awake, begin to stir your mind to say, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I can look, I can open my eyes. My eyes work this morning. My mouth works this morning. Looks like I can stretch my legs and move my hands. I can get out of bed. Thank you, Lord. I have my mind this morning. Thank you, Lord. My loved ones are still here beside me. Thank you, Lord. We haven't had screams of terror in the night in our home. Thank you, Lord, for the peace and calm that's in our life, in our heart and soul. Lord, I'm not striving against you. I'm living in accordance to your will. Praise God. Just come into his presence. Thanking the Lord for his blessings and counting your blessings and renaming them before the Lord. And thanking the Lord for past blessings and what he's answered your prayers. Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer. I prayed that you would watch over and keep us in the night. And I think this is very good to train up your children. The very last thing before they go to sleep, bring them into his presence and pray with them at their beds or right before they go to bed. And specifically, let them know we are committing our home and this property and everything into the hands of God. And let the children know that you trust your home. And you can name these kind of things, especially if you've got children that are afraid of, you've got children that are afraid of fires, you've got children that are afraid of thieves, and they hear stuff and they're afraid. Just commit your home and everything into the hands of the Lord. Let that child go to sleep knowing that we have been put into the hands of the Lord. And I think the children will sleep easier that way. And if they call you back to their room and say, I'm scared, I'm afraid, just commit them again. Just pray with them again. It doesn't have to be a long prayer, but just say, Dear Father, we know that you're going to be with us, and I just pray you will just calm my child and help them to sleep and help them to think about how much you love them. And the Lord will just bless that child's room then with a sense of peace. He can go to sleep in the presence of the Lord. Look into the Lord, look into his face in the morning, and enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I'm just thinking of different ones in the Old Testament that they were in trouble. I thought about Jacob. He was in real trouble. And that's in Genesis. Let me find that. And then I want to go to something that one of the prophets said about Jacob. I'm thinking of when he made the pillar, the altar that he made, there in Genesis 28 and verse 10. Hold that right there, because I want to get something from one of the prophets that he said about that. And I may need a little help finding that one. I think I can find it, but it's where he said that he found him at Bethel. I thought I could get it right, pull it out right here, but somewhere right here in Malachi. Okay, that's probably it. Thank you, that's it. Okay, in Genesis 28, we have the story about Jacob. He says here, he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father. Oh, it's good when the Lord visits you. And he was with your father. Even your grandfather, grandmother, and you think, Lord, I want you to be with me. It's wonderful for him to have visited and let him know I was with your grandfather and then with your father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. Jacob, I'm going to be with you. And not just with you, but I'm going to be with your children too. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have the Lord just renew His presence from generation to generation. It makes me think of that verse, Psalm 90 and 1. Lord, You've been our dwelling place in all generations. My grandmother, my grandfather found that place. And my grandmother was a lady that won my deepest admiration. Well, I have two grandmothers like that, but my grandmother, Thelma Busby Ray, she lived with an unsaved companion for most of my childhood. And I would see her enter the presence of God in her moments of pain with Him. When He would hurt her deeply, she would go and stand at her kitchen sink and her lips would move and she was entering the presence of God. She would whisper Jesus' name, and that impressed me as a small child to know that my grandma, the reason why she was so sweet was because of Jesus' presence. And then I thank God for my parents who taught me to enter into God's presence. I think about this. We need God as we enter middle age. In our 30s and 40s, the stresses of life are so intense. Raising children, and in America, it may be America, the land of the prosperous and opportunity, but it comes at a cost to our health and our strength and our mental. To see these brethren work so hard to pay taxes that take 30 and 40 and 50% of their income, and then to work and to try to find ways to provide for their families. Sometimes my heart is just wrung with anguish for them. I just the system in our country, to be able to supply for your household and your wife not have to work, the man's got to have a way of doing, and it's hard. It's really hard. What's the answer for that, to maintain an equilibrium and maintain sanity and maintain godliness and integrity? You're going to have to find a place to find the presence of God. But I think about, I want to just tell on my dad just a little bit. It's good. When my dad was around 40, I remember this as a child. I didn't know about all of the struggles that he went through at that time. He was pastor at Guthrie. Pastoring a large congregation like that, it will make you or break you. And Dad was going through something, and I, as a child, was very close to my dad, but I didn't realize this until later. But around 40 years old, he was ready to fly. He was ready to leave there and go anywhere but Guthrie. And he actually went. And this is the desperation. I'm going to tell you how desperate his spirit was. You know where Amarillo, Texas is? It's the dead center and nowhere, you know, in my mind. And my dad, he left town one day and went to Amarillo and applied for a job. He did. I'm thinking, Lord, why did he do that? And now I understand. I understand. I'm almost 40 now. And my husband is in his 40s. The pressures of life are so intense at times that either you find an answer or you break. And I'm glad that my dad found God here in Hosea. Let me read that. Hosea 12. Dad, I hope you don't mind me telling about that, but I've heard you preach about it, so. It says here in verse 4, He wept, He had power over the angel, He prevailed, He wept, He made supplication unto Him, He found Him in Bethel. I'm thankful that there in Amarillo, Texas, where Brother Leslie had gone to escape, that he found God. He found God in 1978 again at Bethel. Yeah. And there the Lord said, you go back. Get back there. Get back to Guthrie. I've got work for you to do. Yeah. When he got back immediately, Brother James and Sister Charlotte came to him and said, "We have a burden to start a school. Will you help us?" My dad didn't know anything about doing that, but he went and he began a monumental task. And they began that school and began, and it was the salvation of many of us. I know it was. But I'm thankful that he found him at Bethel. You're going to have to find God at Bethel. Bethel is, and let's go back there to Genesis 28. What he called it was Beth-El. We know that El is God. Beth is house. So Jacob said, "This is the house of God." Verse 17, "How dreadful is this place. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And that's why he named it Beth-El, because it's the house of God. And that's where you're going to find God, in His presence. When you come into His presence, you're going to find the answer to your problem. Problems are so complicated. Marriage, raising children, jobs. I can testify that I have seen my husband very perplexed, very distressed with the work that he has to do in life. And God gave him that work. God led us to Kentucky. God gave my husband the work that he does. And I've seen him at that point where that song says, you may feel down and feel that God has somehow forgotten. When you are faced with circumstances you can't get through. Remember that song? That's come to us so many times. And what always comes to us is the part that says, hasn't He always come through for you? He's the same now as then. I've seen that man go to his office, and he didn't go to his office to crunch numbers. He went there and was on his knees, and the Lord met him and gave him answers to intricate plot problems and complex situations, dealing with people who were already angry and upset, and the Lord go in and diffuse that whole situation. That's the answer, the presence of the Lord. Psalm 16. And verse 11. "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." I'm thinking of a scene in our own family. There was one night that my husband was very sick. I don't know how old the children were. I think it was about 6 years ago, maybe about 5 years ago, where he could not breathe and he was hurting, and it was just us there. There was actually no time to call at that point. There wasn't anything to do but just go to the Lord. Every one of us began to go to the Lord in prayer. My children were just early preteen age, but they made promises to God. They prayed loud to God. We all were praying to God, and the Lord gave him his breath back, and he began to get better immediately. It was an instant answer to prayer. That is the answer to all of our needs, is the presence of God. There have been times where in dealing with raising children, teenagers, going through those hard times where I have been in places where I would flee to my room and get down on my knees and say, "God, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what to say next. I don't know the answer to this, but Lord, you're going to have to get us out of this one and help us and give us wisdom." And I've seen the Lord come right in there and bring that situation under control and bring humility and bring tears and bring reconciliation and total recovery. Oh, I've seen the Lord do it many, many times. The Lord can help us in situations that we do not know what to do. The only answer that I can give you, and this is what I've given him at the altar, you need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to continue about my dad. I remember Daddy, what was it, 81, 80, I don't know what year it was, but he began to feel that the Lord was leading him to a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. He began to pray it. He began to preach it. He began to emphasize it. And the Lord did. He took a man in his 40s who was close to burnout, close to breakdown, and he just anointed him anew with his Spirit. And that's why he's successful at 69. He's not down and out somewhere. And he's not gone off somewhere. But it's because of the fresh anointing in the presence of the Lord that he gave him. It's the mercy of God that we're not consumed with these things. I was telling somebody at the altar, maybe several ones, you know the parable that Jesus gave about the virgins and how that they the ones that were wise took oil in a vessel along with their lamp. So I've got the lamp burning, and it's got a minute supply of oil, just enough, but I've got this other vessel in it. And so I'm watching the lamp, and every time I see that lamp, I'm going to pour oil in it because I've got more oil. That oil, it's like vitamin C in your body. You don't store it in your body. You get it from daily food that you eat. If you eat too much vitamin C in one day, your body flushes it out. You've got to have it. Those things in your body that are like that are called essential. There are fats and oils that your brain needs and necessary for the use of your brain that you cannot get any other way. Your body doesn't make it. Your body doesn't store it. You only get it from a daily supply of the right kinds of grains and nuts and oils. There's only one way to put that in your body. It's just like that with the soul. Essential oils. The Holy Spirit. You don't get it down here in 1963. And carry this big old vat of oil around with you all the rest of your life. You get a fresh day supply every day. If you don't get the oil, what happens to it? Some people have, and I understand this, but some people say that the virgin's oil leaked out. It didn't leak out. It got burned up. Life burns up. The graces of God that He gives us, we use them. We use them up. We don't store them in our body. We're thankful for what He did for us yesterday, but today I've got new evils, and I'm confident there's enough evil and bad in my day today. Jesus said this, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, okay? So God's already got mapped out for me everything that's going to be bad in this day. He's already got it fixed up so that it's not too much for me. Now, I believe that. Not too much pain. There's not too much terror. There's not too much torment. There's not too much responsibility. This day has just enough in it. And guess what else? And as your day, so shall your strength be. And we get it. We have to go to those that sell the oil. We have to go to the merchant. And that's the presence of God. And you can do it middle of the night. You're burning oil, worrying, burning up the oil. What do? Get down and pray. Or sing. Sing oración. Pray, prayer, cantas, song. The other day, that's the only thing I could tell a lady in the laundry that we did here. The only two words I knew to tell her, cantas and oraciones. And she said, yes. But prayer, song, meditation, that's we get oil to put back into those vessels where we're burning that oil. The more stress you have, it's just like vitamin C again. Stress burns up vitamin C in your body. You can't just Okay, tomorrow I'm going to take like 1,500 milligrams. No, you need it every day. Oh, I thank God for in His presence. He shows us the path of life. Can I just testify again what the Lord did for me this year? And the Lord's done this before for me. He spoke to me several years ago and let me know how important it was that I drink more water. I had worked in the garden, and I got in, and my arm was just throbbing, and it was hot. And I went to bed that way, and I really didn't know what to do, but I knew that I had worked. I had really worked and worked and worked, and when I get to working in the garden, who wants to come in and wash your hands and get a drink of water? I mean, I want to just keep on working. I want to get all those weeds out. And so I did that for several hours, and I went to bed, and this arm was hurting, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said, "Your muscle is dehydrated. You need to drink water." Okay, oh, well, you know, that's really something. So, you know, in the middle of the night, the Lord spoke to me and said that. I got up and I drank water. I think I drank probably two or three of those, and it stopped hurting. So all it needed was some water. Back pain, same thing. Head pain. I have severe headaches, have had all my life. But the Lord has shown me that I've dehydrated my body and haven't drank enough water. And the blood platelets are sticking around in my head and not moving slowly, freely. And it's because I don't have enough liquid in there. So the Lord let me know that. And the other day I had a severe headache. It's been a while back, several months ago, I'll say. I had a severe headache one night, and I went to lay down on the couch. And because I walked the floor for a while, and then I laid down on the couch, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "Drink two big glasses of water, and then cover up your head and lay down." Okay. So I went and I got one, and you know how sometimes you feel a little glutted with water? You just feel like, okay, that's enough, I can't. So I drank one, and it did that to me, and so I went and lay down, and the Lord spoke to me again and said, "I told you to drink two." Okay. So the Lord's presence, he can just be he's a person to you. He can just speak to you and help you. So I said, okay. So I went and I got the second big glass, and then the Lord said, "And remember, I told you to cover your head." And so I went and got a towel, and I just covered my head, and I laid down. I never knew another thing. I went to sleep immediately, woke up about 2 hours later, and I was just perfectly free from pain. And I just thought, Lord, you are my physician. You know what my body needs, and you can just tell me the details of what my body needs. That is wonderful. How could you wish for more? I mean, that is living for Jesus. That one, it's not a dead religion to me. I don't do this because of the saints, actually. But I find great pleasure in coming to be with the saints because you do the same thing. You have the same experiences. And we are serving the same God, and it's wonderful to come together. And I know you're saying amen because you've got about 5 experiences like that that you would love to stand up and tell me right now. I know, lots of you do. You can identify with what I'm saying. And the Lord's been good to you too, and that's why we love to come together. That's why we meet together, we battle all year, we fight all year, we persevere, we get all these victories, and we come together and we just can't wait to share them with one another. And we come together and we find out, you've been going through that too? You've been experiencing that too? You felt that way too? The devil told you that too? And we come together and we fuel up, but I'm gonna tell you something, you might think you fueled up and tanked up here, but the very morning when you get home, you need a new supply. You need a fresh supply of the Spirit. Oh, thank God for this. You will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. These are lasting pleasures. He said, I will cause thee to inherit substance. These things that we get from God are eternal. They last. It's joy. It's more than fun. It's more than the elation of having succeeded and have an audience to see, to applaud for you. This is a private moment with the Lord. It's one day with the Lord. It's better than 1,000 times to be in front of a worldly crowd and be successful. Who would even want to trade a moment with the Lord for the paltry pleasures of sin? At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. There's one more thought that I've been given. and it's about Elijah. You know, Elijah got to a place where he wanted to hide out. He wanted to escape. There was only one answer for him. We find that in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. And I want to just tell you, the answer for the doldrums and the void that you're experiencing in your 40s is to be found in coming for a new touch and a new... I'm not saying that this gets old, but I'm saying that we burn it up. We use it up. We have to be refreshed. It's got to be renewed. And I invite us this morning to do what my dad did. We can't leave. We can't scream and go out. We can't do it. There have been times that I just thought, I think I want to scream and run out of the house. What would have happened to my little children if I would have done that? I don't know. But people in the world are doing it. The mothers out there in the world that get so tired and so fed up, they go and escape. An affair, the internet, prescription drugs. We have, every time I see a new Walgreens or a new Rite Aid, I don't think, oh, a nice new store. I think, oh my. We have a society that is hooked on drugs. That's why there's so many new drug stores. The pharmacies can't handle the demand. This is sad. This is sad. I want to tell you, I wouldn't want to hurt any person. I've been meditating about my dear friends that I had growing up that are about my age. And I wrote a list, and I even added, there's about 9 or 10 of my friends that grew up, came here, went to Sunday school, we ran around the campground together, looked in each other's purses, spent time in fun places, eating pickles and cheese and crackers. We had fun. Remember those days? And then we were teenagers together, and we began to go the ways that we chose. I want to give you some little statistics. I'm going to do the seven names that I have here. Seven names. How many divorced and remarried? Six of them. How many, now these are young women, these are my age, they're in their 40s. How many are facing major illness in their bodies? Four. I'm talking about debilitating diseases, cancer. Dependence on medication. How many are experiencing mental illness, either with themselves or with their husband? Three. How many have been on drugs? Of the seven that I have here, two. I'm talking about hard drugs. I'm talking about 20 years of drugs. There are about three other names that I didn't put on my list, so I don't have their statistics on here. But there were three other names that came to my mind. These were my best friends. You can make a choice to go that way if you want to. You can make a choice when you're 30. You know, Satan came to me at 30. and tempted me sorely for 2 years to throw my marriage and my experience away. Now, wouldn't that have been dumb? But it was real. It was extreme temptation. Yes, it was ridiculous. Yes, I'm married to the most wonderful man in the world. He still tried it at 30. I used to know some girls that ran off at 30, tried a second teenage, tried to be wild in their 30s, looked silly, caked makeup over wrinkles. But I think about when I was 30, after I went through that experience, I said, well, I know why she ran off. I know exactly what happened. Satan tempted her, just like he tempted me. And she yielded, and she's gone. She said, wait for me, I'll be back. That's been, what, 10, 15 years? Something like that. She's not back yet. There's still hope. Yeah. We're still praying she'll come back. But how could that happen? It happens when your spirit and your flesh longs for God, and day after day goes by, and you don't give it what it needs. And you try to chin up and bear up and tough up and buck up, and after a while you're just going to close up. You're just going to not show up. You're going to be lost. You're going to go somewhere and you're going to say, forget it. I can't stand it. I don't want it. But there is what you need in the presence of the Lord. Church, there is a river that makes glad the city of God. It comes right out of the throne. That place that I'm talking about, living before the throne, that number that no man could number that Brother Michael preaches about, you know where their position was? You know where they were located? It says, therefore are they before the throne. What are you talking about? You're talking about some grand place there and I saw them and it's kind of a mystical, ethereal type thing? No. I'm talking about people who have been washed in Jesus' blood, who are experiencing and going through great tribulation, but they live in His presence. They live in the throne of God. They found a house for themselves and for their young, and that's the altars of God. When they have a need, they find Him at Bethel, at the altar. Oh, praise God. I think about a song that expresses a lot of what I'm saying here. Nearer, my God, to Thee. Nearer to Thee, even though it be a cross that raises me. Still, all my song shall be, nearer, my God, to Thee. Nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee. Though like the wanderer, the sun gone down, talking about Jacob. Darkness be over me, and my rest a stone. I found that in these 30s and 40s. Haven't you found these places? Where it's hard. It's a rocky place. It's stony. Right where I'm trying to rest and relax, I've got stones here. Though I'm like that, though I'm like Jacob, my rest a stone. Still in my dreams I be. Nearer, my God, to Thee. Nearer, my God, to Thee. Nearer to Thee. And then listen. Then, no, wait just a minute. About then, with my waking thoughts, bright with Thy praise, out of my stony griefs, Bethel I'll raise. Thus by my woes to be nearer, my God, to Thee. I want to tell you something. I saw my grandmother, Vera Forbes, she did that. Everything she faced, she used it to build an altar to God and give her life to others. And that's what He wants. He wants you to find purpose and mission and service in His presence. Because when you get into His presence, He begins to lead you to do what He does. And you know what that is? He pours Himself out for people. He leads you into service and to go right back and just pour yourself out again. That's what He does. The life of the presence of Jesus is a praying life. Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. And when we get into His presence, that's what He leads us to do. He leads you to think about others. He leads you to get out of yourself, out of your old ways and all of your old problems, and you begin to pray for other people. And you begin to think of the world out there and people who need Him. And that's how you raise an altar of Bethel off of your stones and your griefs. And you're able then to go out and you're helping others. And then you have purpose and you have vision and you have focus for your life in your 30s and in your 40s and in your 50s. You don't have to die up and dry up, but you can just become a person who is totally focused in service and in love for others. You don't have to get burned up and bitter and cross at the world and cross at the saints. The answer is the presence of God. And He'll renew you. He'll re-anoint you for service. He'll take away your bitterness. He'll take away, well, I'm just so tired of people doing me that way. And I'm just so tired of those faces, those same old faces. Why don't they pray? Why do I always have to pray in service? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, there they are at the altar again. Oh. Grit your teeth and bear it. No. Before you ever get there, be filled with the inspiration of God. You go and you think, I don't know what to say, but I know that when I open my mouth, the Holy Spirit is going to fill me to know what to tell that person. Oh, thank God. This is the way to live. This is it. This is the way that you'll find an answer to your needs.